for nobody now or later. Because everywhere you go, you're gonna sure enough find a tater. Whether here or over there, child, those taters are everywhere. They always try and give advice. And I've never seen a tater do what's right. Let the Holy Spirit tell you what to do. Here's the recipe for tater stew. Take your righteous prayers because they avail it much. So get out on your knees and show them taters your stuff. Let the onions, garlic, and bell peppers be the magnificent three. God, Jesus Christ, and last but not least, the Holy Spirit. They can't even handle me. Cut them and peel them with the sword, which is the word. Wash them with the blood of Christ. It cleanses all things. You mean you haven't heard? Top it up with the shield of faith. Have patience, let it simmer. It will be well worth the wait. Now get back in this church and be all you can be. Cause God's work can't go on if a tater is in the lead. You see, this story is not to offend, but it's only to try and keep us from sin. And I pray that none of us and the taters are kin. Amen.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Message and a timely passage of scripture for our lives on this morning. Amen. Amen. When you have Romans chapter number 8 and you're looking at verse number 31, I want you to say, I have the word and I'm ready to receive it. Amen. Verse 31 says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Well, you want to shout right there. Amen. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who is also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. The grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. And I want to give a thought, or this morning, or title for this message, and tag it maybe a title and a subtitle also. So the title would be, God is for us. Amen. We just need to know that. Amen. And then the subtitle is, what to say to those things. Right. What to say to those things. Oh yeah, if God is for us, we don't have to worry about that stuff. Look, let's go on. He says now, let's look a little further. Let's look at verse number 32. Verse 32, we find here the provision that God has given us. We looked at verse 31 and 32 through 34. We got the provisions, because first off, we see that God has given us a what? Answer. We got an answer. God be for us. But then he talks about the atonement. He said, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for all, for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Look at this. He said that God, if God has given his own son because he loves us, we should at least trust him that he'll give us everything. If he gave us his son, he's not gonna hold something. He's not gonna hold a deliverance back from you. He's not gonna hold peace back from you. He's not gonna hold blessings back from you. If he loved you so much that he gave his own son, oh my God. Well, y'all should have shouted right there. And if he made an atonement through his own son for us and thought about us when and he didn't hold his son back, what makes you think he's going to hold back anything else? Lord, have mercy here. Ain't nobody happy but me about that. Oh, he said that he'll freely. He's not going to charge you to do something. He's already did it. Jesus said, it is what? Finished. I've done it all. Amen. And so God provided this for us. He provided an answer, but then he also provided an atonement. He provided Jesus who died on the cross. Jesus died and God didn't, he didn't spare him the death. He didn't give him some, sedate him before he went through the pain. He allowed him to feel the full force of the pain, the full force of the persecution. He allowed him to experience the heartbreak of the same folks who just the day before had said, Hosanna. And they said, save us. But the same people in the crowd turned around and said, crucify him. And give us Barabbas. He allowed him to feel the heartbreak. He allowed him to feel the pain of rejection and the pain and the burden of the cross. He allowed him to feel that. And when he allowed him to feel that, he didn't take back or hold back anything, but he allowed him to go through it all for us. Paul is now trying to convince us that love, God love, his love is so powerful, so strong. His love is so much for us that we should not be doubting what God will do. Amen. He is trying to convince us, and I think Paul has a good argument here. Amen. That he has a good argument that God's love for us is so strong that he gave his very best and all that he had that was just like him so that we could have what we have now. Amen. Salvation, freedom. Amen. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Let's go on. Look at he gave us the answer. He gave us the atonement, but then he also gave us the assurance in this same provision. He says, who is it that condemneth? Verse 34. It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also make it intercession for us. Look at that. He says that, look, That he said that nobody can say anything or do anything against you because you got a lawyer. Oh, I wish I had somebody here. He said it is Christ that died. Look, he went through some stuff. He died, but he didn't stay dead because his love wouldn't let him stay dead. Oh, hallelujah. Love let him die, but love raised him up. I wish I had somebody. Then he says, who is even at the right hand of God who maketh intercession for us? He's right there. You know why? Because the devil is the accuser of the brethren. And he always says something about the brethren that is negative, something that sometimes could be true, who knows, but he's always accusing the brethren of something. And the Bible says that since he's the accuser of the brethren, he day and night accuse you of something. Amen. And so when he gives his accusation, we have an attorney. We have Jesus. Come on and say amen. He is our lawyer. He's the one that's standing in the session and says, that's all right, Father, even though they did do that or they might have. Don't even listen to him because the price has already been paid. There's no double jeopardy here. You can't try this case anymore because I've already tried it and I found that they go free and they're not guilty because of what I've done for them. I wish I had somebody. Oh, glory be to his name. He's saying to us that we have the assurance of knowing that we have somebody in our corner. So if God be for us, then who can be against us? We have somebody that make intercession for us. We got somebody that won't let us down. You know how you ask people to pray for you and they say, yeah, I'll pray for you, but they forgot to pray. You ask them to do something and then they say, yeah, I'm going to do it for you, and they forget to do it. We have an intercessor that never forgets. We have an intercessor that stands in the gap constantly. He don't leave his post. He don't have to have any sleep because the Bible said that he never sleeps nor slumber. He don't have to take a break. He don't look for a vacation. He don't look for time off from intercession, but he intercedes day and night. He intercedes all the time, 24/7. If there were 24/7 in eternity, he would do it. I wish I had somebody. We got to understand that Jesus never leaves us. He never gets away from protecting us and interceding for us. I wish I had somebody here. So we see the provision. But let's go on a little further here. There will be persecution. Look at the persecution. He says, but he says, who, verse 35, shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the what? Love of Christ. We need to understand that through the persecution, there will still be no separation. Through whatever I'm going through, that still won't be in it. You know, you might feel like it sometime. I feel like, where is God in this? I feel, what happened to God? Is God hearing my prayers? I don't know if I'm really getting through to God. You start looking for God and you start asking people to pray for you. You start saying, is there a word from the Lord for me? And you don't know where God is. God has said, if you would just look right in the middle of the situation, there I am. We're looking all around. Where is God? God said, I've been here before you got here. You know how I know that is because the Bible. Let's just take the example of the three Hebrew boys. The Bible said that God allowed them to be thrown into the fire furnace. The reason why I say God allowed them is because no man can do anything except God allow it. I wish I had somebody. He is still in control. And so he allowed them to be thrown in the fiery furnace. But before they got in the fire, don't you know that God had already went in the fire and took the heat out of the flame? And so when Nebuchadnezzar looked, he said, didn't we throw in three? But there is one other. There's a fourth man, and he looks like the Son of God. Do I have any witnesses in here today? We need to know that when you go to your trial, God has already been through it so he can secure it for you to make it through. I wish I had somebody. God has placed whatever it is. He went in the lion's den, put a muzzle on the mouth of the lions so they couldn't eat before Daniel got down there so he couldn't be touched. I wish I had somebody. We need to have this kind of confidence that God will be for us, that he'll get there before we get there, change it before we get there, so that when we get there, we don't have to worry about the hurt, harm, and danger, but we will come out and not smelling like what we've been through. Preach up in here, somebody. I don't understand. Look, I don't understand how God does it, but sometimes God lets you go through stuff, and when you go through, you don't smell like what you've been through. Preach. Some people look at you and say, you don't look like what you've been through. Preach. I know I don't look like it, but you'll never know where I've been. But if I just tell you how good God has been to me, if I tell you that if it had not been for the Lord on my side, you don't know the stress, you don't know the mess, you don't know the hate that has been after me, but I tell you what, I don't look like what I've been through. I don't look like what they say I was. I wish I had somebody. Oh, glory. Oh, yeah, through the persecution, there'll be no separation because God is right there with you. Is this word for somebody this morning other than me preaching to myself? Oh, hallelujah. He said that God will be with you even through the time of persecution. There'll be no separation. Verse 35 and part B of that, it says, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. He is saying now, he said that through the persecution, we may suffer. We may suffer through it because he mentions tribulation. But we know that even the tribulation works in our favor. Because tribulation works what? Patience, and patience, experience, and experience hope. And we have a hope that maketh us not ashamed. Am I preaching too long for you all? We have a hope that maketh us not ashamed. And what is he saying? He's saying that God will not disappoint us even in tribulation. God finds a way to make something out of what I'm going through. Oh, hallelujah. You put something in God's hand and it turns into something else. I wish I had somebody in this place today. I'm putting my life in God's hand because my life was no good, but now my life in Christ is what it needs to be. I'm putting, oh, come on and say, man, my children in God's hand, because I don't know what the enemy might try to do to them, but when I put my children in his hand, my children comes out to be successful. When I put my husband, my wife, my marriage, my job in his hand, it turns out to be what God makes stuff when he put it in his hand. The Bible says in Genesis that he looked at it and he said, it's good. Preach, he makes it good when you give it to God. Tell somebody, give it to God. He'll make it all good. Oh, hallelujah in here. Oh, yeah, we may suffer. We may go through tribulation. We may be distressed. We may be persecuted. We may have famine or nakedness or peril. We may have a time when it seems like we just can't get what we need. We got a famine, amen. Sometimes we may have to go through a point to where we feel naked, amen. You know how sometimes you feel like, look like everybody know all your business. Look, you feel naked. You feel uncovered. You don't even want to go to Walmart because you think somebody looking at you funny and they're going to say something. That is a spiritual nakedness. I wish I had somebody here. But we need to know that even through that, God still is with us. Come on and say amen. Oh, yeah. He said that through peril or through the sword, if I go through a whole bunch of bad stuff, stuff that I don't really deserve, that the devil just bring at me for no reason at all. Seemed like I just tried to do my best, but my best wasn't good enough according to the devil. But this stuff that he's bringing and sword, when they want to fight you, when they want to try to attack you, when they want to cut you down, guess what? God says that I'm still with you and I'm still for you. Do I have anybody in here? Oh, hallelujah. Well, I bet I'll just slow it down a bit. I'm getting excited myself here. So when we look at this, God, he says that God will be us and God will be with us, and there will be no separation through the persecution, that we may suffer through the persecution. But I thank God that we are saved by love through it all. Look at this. Let's go on to verse number 36. It says, it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long and are accounted sheep for the slaughter. Sometimes it looked like the innocent just suffers. It seems like the person who's trying to do the right thing seems like that's the one that they want to, you know, you're like a sheep to the what? Slaughter. You know, a sheep just, you know, before his shearers, he's going before the slaughter. He don't even know that it was about to happen. He's just taking it. He just go. He didn't do anything. You know, sheep are animals that you don't ever hear about there being a sheep fight in the herd. You don't ever hear about sheep fighting amongst each other. They just graze and they eat and they follow the shepherd. You know, and that's why I know some people aren't sheep, that they may be goats, because goats butt and fight each other. I want to say amen here. But the sheep don't fight, but the sheep get slaughtered sometime. And sometimes the sheep have to suffer sometime. The sheep go through stuff sometime. But you know what is so good? He says that they count us like sheep to the slaughter, because we don't want to retaliate and we don't want to fight and we don't want to do all the stuff that they do. They say, oh, you know, you just a sheep. You just a weakling. But that's not true, because look at verse number 37. It says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I wish I had somebody to say amen. We look at that. We are saved by love. He said that, yeah, we look like we are going to be killed and go to the slaughter as innocent sheep. He said, but no. Don't worry about that. He said, we are more than conquerors because God loved us. Not because he's going to love us, but because he already loved me. I wish I had somebody. And so since he already loved me, I'm more than a conqueror. When I got to thinking about great conquerors, I started thinking about Alexander the Great. I started thinking about Attila the Hun, people who made their mark in the world, who overcame and who conquered a lot of things. And when I think about great conquerors, you think about William the Conqueror, Joan of Arc, and people who was battlers and fighters and warriors in battle. You start thinking about them. But then when I think about people that are more than conquerors, I start thinking about Don, and I start thinking about Adrian and Braxton and people that are right here in the church. I wish I had somebody. When I start thinking about people who are more, I think about conquerors, and yeah, they have their place in history, but when I think about those that are more than conquerors, it's the common Christian that overcome on a daily basis, that have to battle in a daily basis, that go through on a daily basis and decide that I'm still getting up, putting my feet on the ground and giving God some praise through all that I'm going through. Boy, I'm about to bust my suit up here. Through all that I go through. Oh, glory be to God. I'm still going to praise God. I'm still going to lift my hands. Yes, I had some hard times. I had some hardships and some heartbreaks, but I'm still going to praise him. I'm still going to give him glory. Do I have anybody in the house that said that I'm more than a conqueror? When you're more than a conqueror, that means that that it's not a fair fight. That means that God gave me the advantage. And so you may do all that you want to do, but I still have the blessed advantage. Come on and say amen. You may try to hurt me, but I still have the advantage. You may try to lie on me, talk about me, do me everything that you do, but I still have the advantage. You may try to gain all the people you can gain with whatever you say or do, but I still have the advantage, because if God be for me, oh yeah, God tips the scale on this thing, then who can be against me? Come on and say amen. Oh yeah, what do we say to those things? God is on my side. I'm not worried about what they say. I'm not worried about what they do. I'm not worried about how the devil attacks, because I know that Jesus will be a fence all around me every day. Do I have, oh Lord have mercy, oh yeah, oh glory be to his name. I'm not even through, I'm not there yet, but look, we got to look at this. We got to see that in verse 37 he said we are more than conquerors. Conqueror, it means that when I go to battle, I'm going to battle and I'm equal to the person that I'm battling with. And just by some happenstance, something may happen strategically or whatever, I get the advantage over who I'm fighting against, who had the same type of power that I had. But that's not so in the life of a Christian. When we go into the battle, we have more power than whomever we're fighting. We got to understand, we got more power than the devil. Now, some people, oh, the devil got power. But if God has all power, how much power do the devil really have? And if God lives on the inside of me, whoo, I got all power. Y'all don't hear me here. Jesus rose from the dead and he said, all power is given unto me. Now, if all power is in him and he's in me, where is the power? Lord, help me, Holy Ghost. Boy, somebody could have ran and shouted on that. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. But when we look at this verse 37, he said, we're more than conquerors. I'm more than conquerors. Why? Because I have the love of God. I have the love of God, and love lifts me. Love saves me. Love delivers me. I wish I had somebody. Let's go on so I can be finished here. But when we get to verse number 38 and 39, it says, for I am persuaded. And I'm done. Neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, height, death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Jesus our Lord. Now look at this. He says that we first off, we find the provision that God has given us in verse 31 through 34. Then in verse 35 through 37, we find that there will be persecution. But then in verse 38 and 39, I'm looking at this persuasion. I got a reason to be persuaded here. He says in verse 39, for I am persuaded. Now when I think about what Paul was saying, I have to think about Paul. Mm-hmm. I have to think about what he means by that, because Paul was a man who was persecuted. He was a man that suffered a whole lot of stuff. Paul was a man that was shipwrecked 3 times in the sea, 3 days and 3 nights. Didn't know if he was going to make it, but he was persuaded. Paul was a man who 3 times took a beating with 39 stripes, and he said 39 stripes save one. In other words, he had 39 stripes, and on the 40th blow, listen to this, they would give you in that day 39 stripes, and they'll bring you to, the 40th blow would bring you to death. They would hit you, and that would be, they called it the death blow on the 40th stripe. And so when he said, I've been beaten near to death 3 times. Lord help me, Holy Ghost. He said, but I'm still persuaded. He says that I was stoned and left for dead. In other words, I really did die, because they stoned me until brain matter came out of my head, but I'm still persuaded. Lord have mercy here. When you look at Paul, I was bitten by a snake after the shipwreck. Things happened over and over again. I was in prison, falsely accused, and I was a prisoner, and I was in the shipwreck. Then after the shipwreck, I got snake bit, but I'm still persuaded. Y'all don't hear me here. But we go through stuff and we say, I lost my persuasion. I lost my confidence in God. But Paul is telling us today that you can't lose your confidence, because he said, I was conspired against. They had brothers that took a vow. They shaved their hair. They said, we won't eat until Paul is dead, but I'm still persuaded. Come on and say amen. He said, I had a thorn in my flesh, but I'm still persuaded. persuade, y'all don't hear me this morning. We have to be persuaded that no matter what we go through, that God is still on our side. We have to be persuaded that God is still for us. Even though we have some things coming against us, we need to declare that if God be for us, then who can be against us? When I look at this and I understand and I read it and I say, when Paul said, I'm persuaded that if I face death, I'm still persuaded. He said that if I have to go through stuff in this life, I'm still persuaded. He said if I have to face an angel or any type of spirit, I'm still persuaded. You know, we run from ghosts and goblins and all of that. But Paul said if I face anything like that in the spiritual realm, I'm still persuaded. If I have to face a principality, which means a demonic spirit over a certain region, he said that nothing will separate me. I'm still persuaded that God loves me. If I have to face the powers that are above the principalities, I'm still persuaded. Nor things present. If I'm facing something right now, it's not strong enough to take away my persuasion. I leave the devil in confusion because God has given me persuasion. Oh, he's been good to me. I feel like my old grandmother who said, I won't doubt him because I know too much about him. Do anybody here know enough about God that you won't doubt that God won't be with you? Oh, come on and shout hallelujah. He said that if I'm facing something right now, that what I'm facing ain't gonna stop me from believing in my God. He said if I'm facing something, whatever's to come my way, if it come here tomorrow, if it come here next year, I need to be persuaded. Do I have any witnesses? Come on and shout yes. Shout glory. He said that if I look at how high this is and it seems like I can't get over it, I'm still persuaded. If I look at how low they done got, you know they do some low down dirty stuff, whoa, but I'm still persuaded. Oh, come on and say yes here. He said that height, death, he said, or any other creature, anything that's been created, any device the devil might make up, I'm still persuaded. Come on and say yes. Come on and give God glory. He said nothing shall be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. What are you talking about now? I'm not talking about how I love God. I'm talking about, oh, how he loves me. That he loves me when I'm talked about. He still loves me. When I'm down and out, he still loves me. When everything goes wrong, God still loves me. Do I have a witness? Do I have a witness that God still loves you? Come on and shout yes. Shout yeah. If God be for me, then who can be against me? What shall I say to these things? Well, let me reel back in the Bible. Now, who do I have on my side? I got the Ancient of Days. Do I have any witness? Come on and shout yes. I got Adam's Redeemer. I got Abel's Vindicator. I got Noah's Ark. I got Abraham's Sacrifice. I got Moses' Burning Bush. Come on and shout yes. I got Joshua's Battle Axe in the time of war. I got Gideon's Fleece. I got Samson's Power. I got David's Psalm. I got Solomon's Wisdom. I got Jeremiah's Balm in Gilead. I got Ezekiel's Wheel. I got Job's Horse pouring in the valley. I got Daniel's muzzle, but I got the Holy Ghost. Come on and say yeah. Come on and shout yes. I know he's all right. Yes, he is. Anybody know him? Come on and say yes. He died on an old rugged cross because he loved me. And it wasn't the nails that held him to the cross. It wasn't the nails that held him there. But the Mississippi man said it was the love of God. But I want to go a little further. It wasn't the grave. Oh, come on and shout yes. But it was the love of God. Come on and give him glory. But when I think about him and what else he did, It was love that raised him up. It was love, because God is love. He lifted him, and since love lifted him, he keeps lifting me. So when the enemy comes in like a flood, the love of God, the Spirit of God, will lift up a standard. Say yes. Say yes. I know he's all right. Now won't he do it? I'm through now, but won't God do it? Won't he make a way? Won't he be with you? Won't he open doors? Won't he make your enemies your footstool? Won't he make it better? By and by, won't he do it? Say,